Now, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, there we go. So, you may or may not know, if you've been hanging around Episcopal churches, that every Sunday before Lent, we hear the story of the Transfiguration. Why? Why did, I don't know who makes these things up, the lectionary people. It happens in a dark, smoky room that I'm not allowed in. But they have decided in their wisdom, whomever they are, that every Sunday before Lent, the end of the Epiphany season, we go straight to the story of the Transfiguration. A story where Jesus and his besties go up to a mountain and something strange happens. A story that happens almost exactly halfway between Jesus' baptism and his crucifixion. So is it just a really cool halftime show? I mean, it has lights, it has everything, and you know, it's a pretty good show. No, I think there's something more important to that. So this story of the Transfiguration, I believe, is more about us than about Jesus. I'll tell you a little bit about what I mean with the story. Between my undergraduate and my seminary, those of you who don't know, I was sent out as a missionary for the Episcopal Church. Yes, the Episcopal Church has missionaries. And I was sent to Cairo, Egypt, to work with Sudanese refugees, to work alongside Sudanese refugees. Now, bear in mind, I was 22. I like to think I've changed a little bit since I'm 22. I don't know how you were when you were 22, but let's just say I was a little bit full of myself. And by a little bit, I mean a lot. And I remember having all these romantic notions of what it was going to be like to be a missionary. In fact, I was disappointed that I was going to be serving in Cairo and not in some little hut in the middle of Africa. I think me being such an extrovert, I would have died doing that. But I remember going out with all these romantic notions, and I remember vividly never feeling so alone. I was surrounded by millions of people. I knew some Americans. I was hanging out. I would do stuff like I would even go to morning prayer at 7 a.m. every Sunday. I was desperate, y'all. And I remembered never feeling so far from God. God, this is not how it was supposed to turn out. You see, I was supposed to go away and have all these wonderful things. After all, that's what happens in the movies. And yet, God didn't meet my expectations. However, I will say that it wasn't till years afterwards, well, it's not even that long, maybe months afterwards, that I began to be transformed by those events. I realized I wasn't as alone as I thought I was, and I realized what an impact that had on my ministry, on the way I do things, and the way I operate in my daily life. It was transformational. But it sure as heck didn't feel like transformation when I was going through it. Perhaps some of you have had similar experiences. God, not living up to your expectations. Those of you who have ever been on a job hunt, God bless you. And you thought you had the perfect job lined up. And the person that was hiring didn't quite share your vision. I know I applied for a few churches before this and I thought, this is a church. This is my thing. But I wouldn't have ended up here. Thank God that I did. So I wonder what those disciples, those three disciples, were thinking when they went up that mountain. Right? We don't get to hear that. We just know that how many days before Peter confessed Jesus is Lord? It's right there in the beginning of the lesson. It's not a trick question. 6 days. 6 days. Right? Pay attention to that. 6 days. 7 being the number of completion in the Jewish tradition. So 6 days. Not quite complete. They go up to that mountain. And they see something. They see Jesus hanging out with Moses and Elijah. And Peter, of course, does his expectations. He thinks, this is it. This has got to be the moment. If Peter were a church member, he'd be like, let's do a plaque. Let's do a capital campaign. Like, I've got a plan. We've got it all good. It's all about me. You notice he says, hey, Jesus, because Peter can maybe be a little bit of a kiss up. Jesus, I will build 3 booths. I will build my expectations. This will be good. And Jesus, although it didn't say it, I'm sure he had to shake his head. Shakes his head. Put that in there. And then we see God enter into the scene. And I love it when God enters into the scenes. And I'm saying this aloud, although I don't always wholeheartedly mean it. I love it when God disrupts our plans. I know I'm supposed to say that, but it does get me sometimes when I've got my plans and God interrupts. But God comes in and God says, this is my son, the beloved. Does that sound familiar? Where else have you heard that? At his baptism. In case you had forgotten at halftime, God comes back. And God, I think, also does this too, because Jesus had said some stuff. You see, Jesus had said that whole Sermon on the Mount stuff and all the other kind of stuff. And he'd gotten into some trouble. And I think it was God's way of saying, yeah, I'm still with him. Putting my stamp of approval on that. And you'll notice that the disciples are scared when God enters in. God has a way of taking our plans and when they don't go to the way that we want them to go, we get scared. And scared people, just in my experience, you may have a different experience, sometimes do stupid things. When we're scared, we're not at our best self. And Jesus knows that. So Jesus comes in, and he touches him, and he says, get up. Get up. Don't be afraid. I don't know about you, but I need to hear that on a daily basis. Get up. Don't be afraid. I need to hear that now more than ever. Get up. Don't be afraid. Imagine Jesus reaching out and touching you and telling you those words. My hope is that it gave the disciples some confidence to come back down off that mountain. Because you see, Jesus had also been talking about Jerusalem. About suffering. About things not getting easy, taking up your cross and the road's going to get a little rough. And that's tough. As followers of Jesus, we like things to be smooth, and we're happy to follow God when God meets our expectations. But when the road gets a little bit rough, when things don't turn out the way we had expected, or maybe even perhaps the way the pollsters had predicted, we get a little scared. We get a little frightened. We want to stay up on that mountain with those booths and those plaques and those plans. And Jesus is telling us, it's all right. I'm with you. Let's go down to the mountain. So, St. Thomas, we may like the comfort of our building. We may like all the creatures of comfort. But that's not where we're at. We've been called, perhaps nudged, perhaps kicked off that mountain into something much more profound. We can choose to be afraid. We can choose not to leave that mountain. Or we can trust Jesus. We can get up. We cannot let our fear consume us. What happened on that mountain was not about Jesus. People that were truly transfigured, transformed, were those disciples. Moses went up alone. Jesus took a few others. And now, in a sense, before we enter Lent, we are taken up to that mountain. So, Jesus said to them, and if I can be bold, I will say to you, get up. Don't be afraid. Let's go down for the mountain. Amen.